From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Pastor Kyle Beshears, author of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Pastor Kyle Beshears in their conversation.
That particular letter from Screwtape reminds me a lot of the correctives that James K.A. Smith has been trying to make on the Protestant side of things. Actually, you had him on a guest to discuss You Are What You Love. So this is kind of the avenue of thought that I'm thinking. And in that book, essentially, he argues that there are what he calls cultural liturgies. So things that we do in our lives that are prescribed to us by culture that we may be aware of or we may not be aware of, they actually shape our desires. And depending on how your desires are being shaped will depend on which direction your heart is oriented. And really, there's only two directions to be oriented. It's toward the Creator or away from Him. And so here Screwtape is saying something similar. You know, if this patient, before he was converted, had participated in cultural liturgies that has trained his heart away from the Lord, or he would call him the enemy, and he does not move away from those cultural liturgies to adopt spiritual disciplines, those that are prescribed to us by the Word of God, then of course, because his heart is oriented away from the Creator, he'll eventually come back to us. And I would say for Apatheism in the pews, if they're not coming back to borrow Screwtape's language, his master's camp, what we would call the enemy, they might physically be present in the church, but their heart is not there. It's no longer there. And so I think you're onto something there, that it's, especially for Protestants, we're nervous when it comes to language about doing, because we're trying to be very careful not to say the spiritual disciplines that you're doing are not working your heart towards God. Your heart has been conformed by God's power through faith, and now the spiritual disciplines are working out of a new heart, a circumcised heart, to borrow biblical language. And spiritual disciplines retrain us, reorient the direction in which our desires and our affections are facing. So if somebody's apathetic in the pews, then one of the problems is there's a disoriented heart, and a disoriented heart will stay disoriented so long as that heart is not being trained in the new spiritual gymnasium, as you said, to look toward Christ.
Yeah. You know, Dallas Willard, he wrote a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And in that book, he notes that one of the greatest deceptions in the practice of Christianity is the idea that all you really need, all that really matters, is internal feelings, internal beliefs, internal intentions. And then he would always point out that it's that mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything else divorces religion from life. It leaves us with a head full of vital truths about God, but then a body that is unable to fend off sin. Your thoughts?
I think he's right, and I think that requires us to look at the human being differently than has been handed to us from the inheritance of the Enlightenment. This goes back to Jamie Smith as well. He likes to push against the idea of human beings as brains on a stick. What do we call ourselves? In the taxonomy of biology, we envision ourselves as Homo sapiens, which means man who is wise, or man who thinks, man who reasons. And I think Jamie Smith argues we're not that. We're man who loves. I would say also we're man who images, that we bear the image and likeness of God. A God who thinks, for sure, who is capital T truth himself, as Jesus says in John 14, but also a God who has desires and right desires as well. So as long as we just envision ourselves as repository for data, as long as we use the analogy of the human being as a computer, we're going to fall short of the whole vision of what a human being is. We act out of our desires. We act out of our affections. And actually, our desires can shape even what we think about. And this is not something that like Christian theologians or Christian psychologists are arguing for, but even those that are unbelievers have noticed that often our feelings are not a reaction to an assessment of data, but the reverse is true. The feeling we have towards something comes first and the thinking comes later. So what we really need to do is we need to reimagine belief not as being the sum of our ideas about God, but also our feelings about those beliefs as well, which leads to a whole nother discussion, but I think it's an important one that we need to begin to have.
The subtitle of your book is intriguing. The book, again, is titled Apatheism. And let me say before I get to my question, that book is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web for your support. Simply go to equip.org. Again, the book titled Apatheism. But I wanted to ask you, Kyle, about the subtitle, How We Share When They Don't Care. That subtitle begs the question of how we do evangelism in the modern world. How do we do evangelism in the modern world?
So that's a huge question too. There's so many things that could be said there, but for apatheism in specific and how we're sharing with those who lack a care, I think one of the things we need to do is we need to reassess a lot of the common models of evangelism and to a certain extent apologetics to see if they're effective or helpful when approaching apatheism. One of the kind of stories I tell at the beginning of the book is Paul's famous Areopagus discourse in Acts, where he's invited to go to, in the King James, Mars Hill to discuss and debate the latest ideas. And on his way there, he notices a statue to the unknown God. And it's from this statue of this unknown deity that is somehow mysteriously beyond all of the other gods of the pantheon. Paul says, you know, this unknown being to you is known to us, and now I'm going to declare to you who he is. The brilliance behind Paul's strategy, and this is a strategy that has been replicated and reproduced and echoed through countless evangelism and apologetics material, is that it leveraged a minimally common interest that both Paul and the Athenians had in God. Both of them clearly cared about theism. It was just that the Athenians cared about theism in a very different way that Paul did, and Paul wanted to present the gospel to fill in those gaps and those mysteries with the gospel. But my question in our culture is this: if Athens was apatheistic, what would the pantheon look like? Perhaps there wouldn't be statues to gods because, again, they're irrelevant. Who cares? Or perhaps more accurately, those statues would be there, but they would have fallen into disrepair because they had been neglected for years. Nobody cares about the gods anymore. And the question I ask is, when it comes to apatheism, what if we live in an Athens without a statue to the unknown God? And that's the question we have to ask first when it comes to how we share when they don't care. And one of the answers that we quickly arrive to is that we can no longer assume that we have a minimally common interest in God, which is an assumption that countless generations before us have presupposed. Again, to go back to that quote with Calvin, nobody's going to want to be seen as being indifferent to personal religion and knowledge of God, but today that's simply not true. So if our approach to apatheism assumes that they're going to be interested in God questions and his existence, we're already off on the wrong foot.
But one of the things that you point out is that while you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, you can, as it were, make them drink by putting salt in the oats. And the analogy that you use is these gospel pedals that you can place in a person's shoes, by analogy. In other words, you can plant truths that will dig into the souls of our neighbors and therefore cause them to thirst for something that they weren't previously thirsty for.
That's right. And so this is kind of riffing off of Schaeffer, where Schaeffer's apologetic was to kind of get the unbeliever to understand that not only is there a lot of what they believe about reality that is borrowed from the Christian worldview, but their own worldview has inconsistencies with reality. And so the object in a lot of our encounters ought to be to discover the cognitive or the rational beliefs, those contradictions between what really is, and press those really hard, these pressure points. You call taking the roof off of it and exposing kind of the cracked beams in a person's worldview. What I think is helpful for apatheism is to take that same concept, but then move it to the heart and to do kind of the same thing, where instead of pointing out to an apatheist that they have inconsistencies in their worldview with reality, they have misplaced hopes and desires and joy bringers, that the thing that they assume is going to bring them happiness and joy and meaning and value and purpose for the rest of their life will not.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Pastor Kyle Beshears. How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians often encounter people who don't quite doubt the existence of God. They are just apathetic about Him. In the new book, Apatheism, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one, because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. www.screwtape.org. How do we share the gospel when people don't care about God? When we think about common obstacles to evangelism, apathy doesn't typically come to mind. Yet today we're seeing a rise in apathyism, people who simply don't care whether or not God exists. Kyle Beshears wrote Apathyism, How We Share When They Don't Care, to address the origins of apathyism, how it has grown to epidemic levels in society today, and most importantly, how Christians might impact the indifference of apathyists and effectively discuss gospel truth with them. To receive your copy of Apathyism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Pastor Kyle Beshears, in their conversation.
What I think is helpful for apathyism is to take that same concept, but then move it to the heart and to do kind of the same thing, where instead of pointing out to an apathyist that they have inconsistencies in their worldview with reality, they have misplaced hopes and desires in joy bringers, that the thing that they assume is going to bring them happiness and joy and meaning and value and purpose for the rest of their life will not. And in this way, I think what we are doing is, in the next step, is presenting the gospel primarily as desirable rather than primarily as reasonable, as has been a lot of the apologetic methods in the past. That's not to say we do not present Christianity as reasonable or rational, because it certainly is, but that for a lot of apatheists, like we talked about before, in a post-truth world, what does it matter what I believe? But that there is a deep desirability that's found in the gospel. So connecting that to the pebbles in the shoe, the pebbles, the way that came about is, I'm an avid kayaker and an avid hiker. Those are my two favorite activities. And I always noticed in myself, and even after writing the book, I continue to do this because I'm a bit obstinate, but when I hike, and maybe you've experienced this, or your listeners, there's always a pebble that ends up hitchhiking in your
shoe.
That
only happens in my golf shoes.
Right, right. Well, we've all been there, right? These things just kind of, they're like stowaways, and it's uncomfortable. And instead of taking our shoe off at the moment, we lie to ourselves and we say, if I keep walking, then the pebble's going to shift to a position in my shoe where it's no longer bothering me or it's tolerable. But that never happens. And eventually, after a mile or so, it's so annoying and it's so painful that you have to finally plop down on a log, take the shoe off, and find that pebble and what's been bothering you. And so this is an analogy, like you said, of evangelistic encounters with apatheists, that my goal is not necessarily to see them jolted from their apathy right then and there, although if the Holy Spirit did that, praise be to God, and I would be wondered by that. But better, I would say, is to place seeds, these little pebbles of doubts about their joy bringers. Maybe they haven't considered that the thing that they thought was going to bring them joy for the rest of their life might not. And as they're walking down the path of life, that pebble in their shoe is going to bother them. And sure, they might walk down the path of life another week or month or year or a few years, but eventually something's going to happen to bring that pebble in their shoe to a point of where it's almost unbearable, and they have to stop and they have to look at it and they have to question, okay, why is it that this is bothering me? Why is it that the thing I thought was going to bring us happiness no longer does? And hopefully the Holy Spirit brings to memory those conversations that they had the years before that placed the pebbles there to begin with, and more hopefully that there's believers in their life on that same trail at that same stop that will tell them, hey, the reason that that pebble exists is because you're trying to find happiness and joy in a created order that's fallen, when the Creator, who is joy, the source of joy himself, is bidding you to come home.
You know, for the sake of our children, I want to circle back to the conditions under which apatheism flourishes in our culture. You mentioned all four of them early on in the discussion, but I think this is really important because our children oftentimes leave the faith or become apathetic toward Christianity because of false notions. The first you mentioned was contestability. Belief in God is thought to be contestable. It's something that we can easily dispute. And scientific materialism, as it's been popularized in our culture, has led to this idea of contestability, the idea that the Christian faith is disputable. It is maybe even fictional. And so we have been living in a culture in which our kids have been permeated in their structures with alternate explanations for the universe, for the meaning of life, without having to appeal to the supernatural. So talk about how this becomes something that we have to be on guard of for the sake of our children.
Sure. There's no way, short of starting a commune on an island without communication to the outside world or retreating to a monastery that is just you, your wife, and your children, there's no way that you're going to be able to prevent your kids from encountering competing narratives to Christianity. And that's part of living in the world. But Christ calls us to live in the world, yet without being of it. And I think a large part of what it means to be in the world but not of it is to understand how to wisely tease out truth from fiction, to be able to wisely interpret through the lens of God's special revelation what is true and what is false. Now, this is extremely laughable in our culture because, again, all of our beliefs are atomized to ourselves. We're the ones that are making meaning. If I don't think there is any meaning in Christianity and I find meaning in evolution, then frankly, it doesn't really matter what the data says on either sides. This is how I feel about it, and that's just the way it's going to be. So here we are back to feelings. I do think that Scripture calls us not only to a renewal of our mind, a sanctification of our mind, but also a renewal and a sanctification of our hearts. It does matter what you feel about these things. It does matter what you feel about the Christian faith. And frankly, we're all on a trajectory towards a time when we will account not only for what we believed, but, a whole accountability of how we approached belief. So I would say for parents or for grandparents or guardians, probably some of the best things you can do is to remain a worthy object of following. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's as simple as being a disciple of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to foster in children and grandchildren a right affection because they see it in you, and to be open and unafraid of having really difficult conversations when it comes to those competing narratives from secularism or Darwinism. Sure, some of that's going to be requiring some homework, especially if we're unfamiliar with those concepts, but I think also we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is the one who gifts us faith. And so we're not the ones saving our children, but we are the ones who are discipling our children. So I guess that's a long answer to a complicated question, but really I think a lot of it comes down to our willingness to be obedient to Christ, to be open, to walk through those issues, and to teach our children how wisdom, frankly, is not a virtue that a lot of the Christian church today discusses, especially not from the pulpit.
Kyle, thank you so much for this discussion. I think it'll help a lot of people. Your book, Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care. And so in this book, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and to demonstrate how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. I mean, this is what we're called to do, to bring people into the fullness of the body of Christ so that they can enjoy the joy that God has come to give us, not only in the future, but now. We can have, as Jesus Christ said, life more abundantly, or life that is life to the full. Again, this book is available to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org. Kyle, many blessings as you continue in your ministry and impact the lives of people for a time and for eternity.
Likewise, it was a great joy to be on the show. Thank you.
God bless you, and God bless all of you tuning in to Hank Unplugged. We've got many great podcasts coming up, and we, of course, have had many great conversations in the past. You can tap into all of them. They're archived. They're available. Check it out wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, or just go to equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Hank Unplugged. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the podcast.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Pastor Kyle Beshears, author of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, just go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. As our thanks for standing with us in the battle for life and truth, Hank would like to send you a copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care by Kyle Beshears. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.